Darcy Tucker joins us for Tucker Tuesday. I imagine you are safe, home safe and sound from the MasterCard Memorial Cup in Red Deer?
Yes, I am, but I got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, here we go.
Talking yesterday about the over-under on whether Brent Sutter can name 1.5 Raptors. He's a farmer from Alberta. What do you think they do in the tractor all summer long? They listen to sports talk radio. He'd know more than 5.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if it's about driving around in he's not listening to Raptor talk in the tractor, but I think to this point, he is not only a farmer and a small town Alberta guy, but he's also a hockey coach. So he would be good with names. I will give you that.
Every farmer remembers every name they've ever heard. Trust me, my dad is the exact same way. He remembers everybody. I used to ride around the tractor with him as a kid, and he'd talk to me about baseball players, football players, not so much basketball, but now that basketball is a little bit more prevalent.
Right.
We would talk basketball.
Okay, so let me ask you this then, because I saw you in Red Deer, and boy, you were signing autographs and taking pictures. It was quite the sight. But I'm sure you talked to a lot of people, and I was a little surprised because there we are in the heart of hockey country right during a hockey tournament. Did anybody mention the Raptors to you or ask, hey, did they win tonight? What's the series at? Did you have any of those conversations?
There was at least 5 or 6 people in the restaurant bar when we were eating dinner that night talking about the game right at the end of it. There was people watching and paying attention for sure. Now, was it a huge amount of people? No, but at the same time, it's enough to get the conversation started and then go from there.
So what was your reception? You were out there. You were doing some stuff for Collins Bear. We saw you, on the ice Sunday before the game. Do you ever get tired of being just this huge celeb and huge hero going home?
No, you know what? It's a lot of fun going back to, especially the Alberta where I grew up. It was a real fun time for all of us to go on the ice for the Memorial Cup. Was really, one of those things that you're very honored and privileged to do. I told Dave Branch when we left the ice that I really appreciated the opportunity to go out there and be part of the ceremony. Winning 3 Memorial Cups is one of those things that will last and go with you for the rest of your life. So very fortunate and honored to be back in Central Alberta for the Memorial Cup. And Collins Barrow did such a great job. We went to Ronald McDonald House there in Red Deer and met some families and invited them to the game to watch the game. What an outstanding experience and great way to give back to the community.
When they introduced you, I don't know, I was, did you hear me boo?
But everybody else was clapping, which was shocking.
Sorry, repeat that.
I said, I heard you were booing, but everybody else was clapping, which
right.
was a shock to me. Because,
yeah.
You know what, I think probably because they said won a world junior gold medal right here in Red Deer. So I think that put me in the good books because I know when I played against the Rebels for the couple years that they were in the league that I had some enemies on that team.
That was a great World Junior team, absolutely, and with the cowboy hats, right?
Oh yeah, we had the cowboy hats, the bolo ties, the bad long trench coat, slicker. We won that World Junior. We were in the dressing room. We had our slicker coats on. It was so hot in there from jumping around when we won it and hugging each other. Those long trench coats were just sweat filled.
Who was, okay, so top of my head, because I just remember, I remember Redden, I remember Smith, I remember Todd Harvey of all people, I remember you. Who was the stars on that team back in Red Deer?
Jason Allison, Marty
right.
Murray, Brian McCabe, the list goes on and on. From that team, just because it was a lockout year in the NHL, we had a lot of guys that probably would have been playing in the National Hockey League come back and play on our World Junior team. Just filled with stars, Alexander Dagg, Jeff Friesen, just numerous names that, just outstanding NHL careers. And, I played with a few guys here in Toronto, and we talked about it numerous times, the amount of fun that we had winning that gold medal there in Red Deer.
Darcy Tucker joins us on the Andrew Walker Show for Tucker Tuesdays, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, I got lots to get to with you. All right, so the Memorial Cup. Yeah, the buzz around town, at least in Red Deer when I was there, was, boy, like no one is going to, knock off this London team. No one's going to give them a game. They rolled through the round robin, And lo and behold, we got a classic on Sunday for the final. Goes to overtime. They could have lost. They still get the win. I guess your impression of most notably Mitch Marner in this tournament and that top line.
Well, that top line was outstanding. I thought on Sunday in the final game that they were extending their shifts too long. The group of them, all three of them, you can't play 2 minutes on the power play and then expect to stay on the ice for another minute and accomplish anything. So the amount of time that they were spending after the power plays and extending their shifts, I thought they looked tired for two periods just because of all the ice time they were getting. But you know, as the third rolled on, you could tell that their will and desire and playmaking ability kind of took over the game. Now, you know, if the kid there that got the breakaway scores on that to make it 3-1, we're having a totally different conversation here. But they found a way to win and get it done, and kudos to them. You know, they had an outstanding tournament, you know, over the course of the week, and they deserve to win the Memorial Cup.
It's funny to watch a line when all three guys are really good, because we have this debate of well, they all can't be good. One has to drive another, and sometimes, yeah, like they're all stars. I mean, it's different in the NHL, I would imagine, because on most good teams, you know, every one of your top nine forwards is a pretty good hockey player. But when you have three guys that are just, like, you're not mixing and matching, that line stays together and they're tough to play against. I mean, we remember the Legion of Doom comes to mind. Like, what was the toughest trio to play against for you that was always a trio? Like, they never broke up.
Well, I look at it back in my career and playing junior. I think we had one of the best junior hockey lines to ever play the game. You know, I played on the line with Jerome McGinley, and half the time we played with Shane Doan, and half the time we played with a young kid named Nat Domichelli. And I remember that last year, junior, I didn't have to basically do anything on that line. Those two big horses always found a way to get the puck, get it to the net, and create offense. And when you look back on it and you see the amount of games that we played over the course of our careers in the National Hockey League and how successful those two have been throughout their time in the National Hockey League, and they're still playing, just amazing, amazing junior hockey players. But in saying that, the same in the National Hockey League. And I was kind of like the crutch on that line, so to speak, when it came to playing with those two, because they were so good.
That is a good junior line. I'm surprised, and I know Doan hasn't moved around, and Aginla barely moved around and now has, but there was never a situation to ever play with either one of them ever again.
No, well, you know what? In the National Hockey League, it's tough when it comes down to, you know, moving around. A lot of guys get to the latter parts of their career, and family becomes a more important thing, whether it be, you know, they don't want to move, or they don't want to go to a different organization and pick their family and kids up and put them in a different school. Sometimes at the end of your career, it becomes more about, you know, how they're doing and what they're doing and how comfortable they are than it is about, you know, trying to chase a Stanley Cup or chase a dream of winning a Stanley Cup. So, and that's how I felt at the end of my career. I was more concerned about, you know, watching my boys or missing my boys' hockey or missing something my daughter was doing at school than I was about getting on a plane to go to Columbus, Ohio.
Darcy Tucker, our guest for Tucker Tuesdays on the Andrew Walker Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So I want to ask you about the Cup Final, but I also want to talk about contracts a little bit. So yesterday off the top, we had Bismack Biyombo on, and because we're big-time journalists and it's a big-time radio show, we got a little news out of him, and he talked about taking a hometown discount. And I've always wondered, because free agency, like, you know how it is. Free agency, you make oodles of money, and we call it overpayment, and we see it time and time again. A guy is player X, and he signs for contract Y, and everybody and their dog knows that he's never living up to it. He might be a good player, but eventually he gets criticized or bought out or whatever. Do you ever think, like, is it all about money, or does a guy ever look back on his career or in the midst of it where he's not playing very well, he's making too much money, he's a burden on the cap, the fans hate him, he's, you know, the media hates him, and he thinks, I wish I would have just signed for less. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. Well, I can only put it into my own perspective. You know, I had an outstanding year, signed a 4-year contract, got bought out after a year because they brought in new management. In life, sometimes you take the hometown discount and it backfires on you, and other times you go to free agency and you take the more money and it doesn't work out in that scenario either. You could see cases of it over the course of time in the history of hockey in general, that guys leave for big money and they go to a different spot, and for whatever reason it doesn't work out because they're not comfortable. Maybe they're not playing with the right guys. Maybe, you know, even the money goes to their head and they don't train properly in the summer. So taking the hometown discount is all well and good until the hometown discount doesn't work out, and vice versa. Taking the big money in the open market, it's all well and good until you get there and you stink and the fans are booing you and you're in a different place and your kids aren't happy at school and your wife hates the city because it's 40 below. It's not an easy thing to go through as a player, but at the same time, you just got to make an educated decision and do what's right for you.
Like, I look at like David Clarkson here, and I know things just right from the bat. He gets suspended, and he's on the cover of magazines, and he doesn't play well, then he gets injured, and it was just a nightmare, and it comes with a huge contract. And I always wonder, you know, deep down, did he wish, I wish I made $3 million a year. Maybe things go better. Maybe my mind is in a better place. I don't know. It's an inexact science, isn't it?
Well, it's an inexact science, but I think David did it for all the right reasons. He wanted to be home. Yeah, he grew up a Leafs fan. He wanted to do extremely well here. I know, in having conversations with him while he was here, it's just he did everything for all the right reasons. It just didn't work out, and sometimes that happens. And like I said earlier, you can get to a spot where you think, wow, I've signed in the perfect hockey club. I'm going to do great things, and everything goes backwards, and then you lose your confidence, and boom, you're bought out, or you're traded, or you're on to the next scenario. And it's not a lot of fun when you start down that path, that's for sure.
I know you're a big Biz fan. You're probably cutting a check to Masai right now, hey, chipping in to bring Biz back.
Do I have to buy season tickets to bring him back? Then maybe I'll have to buy them.
Oh,
we're going down that path. You know, at the end of the day, you want to keep the hockey club together. You look at what's going on in LA. They win a championship. They signed their captain for an extended period of time, and now it hasn't worked out, and they're looking to, you know, take the captaincy away from them and do all kinds of things. It's not an exact science when you sign guys, but you're trying to do what's best for the hockey club while having some loyalty to the players that have got you there.
Do you hear that, Masai and MLSE and Sportsnet.ca? If the Raptors re-sign Bismack Biyombo, Darcy Tucker will be a new proud Raptors season ticket holder.
Emails will be flowing in now.
That sounds good. All right, so Stanley Cup Final, Sharks and Penguins. I love the matchup. What are your thoughts on game one? Did anything surprise you last night?
Not really surprised me. You know what really is intriguing is watching Crosby and how energized he is out there right now to get the opportunity to win another Stanley Cup. Anytime you have a franchise player and he's put in a position to win another cup, they got home ice advantage. He looked outstanding last night. The way he protected the puck, it looked like the Crosby of a few years ago where you just couldn't get the puck away from him in scenarios down low. And, you know, just the speed and how he was using his body to protect the puck, it's phenomenal to watch. And he looks like he's re-energized and back on his game.
Is there anything to not having been there before? And I don't even mean in the moment. Like, I don't mean that the Thorntons and the Marlows shrink away because the spotlight's too big. I mean, this is the first time they've been in the fourth round. Like, it's such a grind, and I think the figure was thrown out. The Sharks have 10 Stanley Cup final games between them, and the Penguins have something like 60 or 70. They've had years where they've played into June, and San Jose never has. You think that's a factor?
I think it looked like it in the first period last night. Pittsburgh jumped them, and they looked like they were uneasy and not ready to play, even though they got back in the game later on. And then, you know, you look at the time of the game that winning goal was scored. I think, you know, circumstances happen where Burns drops his stick and such. But, I mean, you got to know time and magnitude of the situation in the game and when it's happening. I think the first game might have been a little bit of shock to him. And then you look down at the other end, you got Matt Murray and Nett. And sometimes ignorance is bliss. I think he's going through it going, I'm just going to live in the moment. This wasn't supposed to happen to me. And whatever I do here, can lead to a Stanley Cup if I just play my game. And that's great to see, watching a young kid that maybe doesn't even understand the magnitude of his situation that he's in.
Patrick Marleau throws kind of a late hit in the middle on Brian Rust, and nothing really comes of it other than a 2-minute minor. Are we at a point in the season and a stage so big that you just got to let him play, or did you not like the hit?
The hit was fine. You hit him with basically his back. You can't come through the neutral zone and not expect to get bumped in some way, shape, or form. Didn't target the head. He just, he basically stepped in front of him and he ran into him. And you can't come through that area this time of year and think that you're just going to get a free pass anyway. So I look at that scenario and I say to myself, Marlowe's just coming across to finish his check. He doesn't jump. He doesn't leave his feet. He doesn't, accelerate through the hit. He just basically stops his feet and Russ runs into him. So, mm-hmm. And then you look at it, it takes himself out of the game. So obviously he wasn't feeling right. So he's out of the game. And, the Penguins end up winning the hockey game anyway. So hopefully he can get back in the series if he takes a couple of days off here.
Darcy Tucker joins us for Tucker Tuesday. Okay, so one more. You fly out, I fly out to the Memorial Cup. And like, I hate flying at any given time, and once in a while you just get an awful flight. But listen, we're poor. We fly commercial. I'm in the back of the plane. But I was thinking about you and a lot of NHLers, and what I would give. Like, I'd cut off my left leg to have a life of charter team flights. That would be phenomenal. Is travel tough for you, knowing that you don't get that private plane anymore? What was the best private plane you had?
It's a different situation. When you're traveling with a group of guys and you're on a team, you sit down, you're having, conversation, you're playing cards.
Sushi.
Sometimes you wouldn't even realize that the plane had taken off. Now when I fly, I'm so in tune with what's happening that it makes me nervous. And it's a little different scenario when you're traveling in a smaller group and having to, go through security in a different manner. But I don't mind it. I enjoy talking to people at the airport and going through the process of standing in line and getting my Tim Hortons. I enjoy it, so it doesn't bother me in that aspect. But, I have fun doing it. It's enjoyable now.
It was funny because now you're a normal guy like the rest of us. We were bugging Barnaby at the Scotiabank Pro-Am because he comes through the dressing room at the end and says – and he says, where are the towels? I said, no, you bring your own towel from home, like your Disney towel, in a plastic shopping bag and put it in your bag like the rest of us. That's what you do now.
That's awesome. He's looking for the towel in the shower. Yeah, you know what? It's funny how all of us got to pack our towels when we're going to the rink to have a skate with the guys now. It's mine just stays in the bag, so I don't even know.
You're one of those guys. That's gross.
Yeah, I don't even know if I get clean after the shower.
Darcy, thanks for this. Talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, buddy.